Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinton Review on this Thursday, April 28th, 2016, as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. We had the first, and I apologize for that. There, that was supposed to be our opening music, but music was running a little late. Well, again, Cyril Gerald Quinton on this Thursday. A lot going on in the sports world. You had, you know, NFL draft, Caps, Penguins. Caps up 1-0 at the first intermission. Boston, Atlanta, game 6, elimination game. Atlanta trying to move on. Boston, Atlanta is up by like up by 9 with about 3 minutes left in the second quarter. So a lot going on in the sports world on this Thursday evening. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. But we have the first idiot move, the first doofus move in terms of the NFL draft, in terms of one of these players, Laramiel Tunsil, who, before all these trades went down with the Rams and Eagles, was projected possibly, you know, a couple of weeks ago, possibly to be the number one pick in the draft. Like, he was rated that high. He's rated as a top 5, top 3 top prospect, without question, the number one in some mock drafts, top 5 at the latest. But now he's fallen. You know, you see Ronnie Stanley go before him for Baltimore, and Baltimore does a good job when they do have these high picks, especially at, you know, especially in the trenches. They've done, you know, a tremendous job in past drafts. So there was no way that they were going to take Tunsil after this guy gets on his Twitter account, has someone smoking a bong with a mask covering his face, and gets released on the day of the draft. Okay. So the representatives, agent, clearly, you know, in defense mode, as far as, you know, denying it, account was hacked, not him, so on and so on. The bottom line, of course, the tweet has been deleted, but that's not the point. Like, dude, you were a 50-50 shot to be the number one offensive lineman taken to begin with. Like, a lot of people were high on the Stanley kid out of Notre Dame. There were some mock drafts that I saw that had Stanley going before Tunsil. And there were some scouts that said Stanley is even going to be a better player than Tunsil. But Tunsil was, you know, the bigger name, per se, coming out of Ole Miss. We all know some of his problems in Ole Miss. He's the guy that got involved with, you know, had to fight with stepdad. Ole Miss has a number of their own ongoing issues with the NCAA. He had a part in Nandici. You heard about his issues. I wonder where he'll go in this draft. He could fall out the first round without question. So, you know, he came in with baggage already. Okay, he came in with baggage. And now this picture comes out the day of the draft. Don't be surprised if he falls out the first round. He will not go in the top 10, I don't think, as a 49er select, DeForest Buckner, defensive end, safe pick out of Oregon as a number 7 pick. So, you know, again, there's one idiot every draft. There's one guy that does something or does something that's gonna have this stat that's gonna cause him to fall in the draft. That's gonna cause him, you know, the stock to go down. So, Tunsil, you know, congratulations for the 2016 Idiot of the Draft Award, because there's no way. Listen, you know, it's the old, you know, it's an old line when it comes to these Twitter accounts, and I've grown to almost detest social media, like Twitter, Snapchat. It's just too much access, especially for young people. It's just too much exposure in general. It's too much. They can't handle it. Instagram, Facebook, they cannot handle it. And this guy, you know, is going to lose millions of dollars behind you know, there are some nonsense that certainly he could have controlled. I mean, nobody, I don't believe by the fact that somebody hacked his account. Okay, so we'll see where he goes, where he falls. Atlanta up 38-29 on the Celtics, about a minute 30 left. Boston just does not look good in this game at all. The crowd, there's no energy in the stadium whatsoever. Doing the Boston crowd is rocking. Atlanta looks, I think Atlanta's going to close them out as Schroeder just hit a three to go up by 12. And again, it all comes down to Isaiah Thomas. If Isaiah Thomas did not produce, they can't win. It's just that simple. Atlanta does not need their – see, Atlanta doesn't need their best players to play well, all of their best players to play well. They don't. They don't need Horford, Millsap, or Achieve to go off. They don't need them. But Boston needs Isaiah Thomas to go off. And they can still lose, even if he goes off. Need to even have a chance. Isaiah Thomas has to have a big game. Jack Coughlin selected number 8 for Tennessee. He goes to Tennessee, so they get a tackle. He's the second tackle taken again. Second offensive tackle taken ahead of one Tunsil. Expect more to be taken ahead of Tunsil as his stock is going to drop. A lot again. This is a draft. People that we're going to see a ton of guys in the trenches on the offensive defensive lines taken. There is a loaded draft, defensive ends, especially with defensive ends and pass rushers. So we're going to see a lot of these guys in the trenches in the front seven taken as the draft moves along. To kind of give a little recap, again, no major surprises. Goff goes to the Rams. Wentz goes to the Eagles. A bit of a, not a surprise, but, you know, the first, I guess, risky move, you want to say, Ezekiel Elliott going to the Cowboys. Again, I'm of the theory that you do not take a running back that high. I watched a lot of Ohio State over the past couple of years. I think Elliott is a tremendous back. But to me, the Cowboys had so many defensive issues. I would have taken myself. If I was a general manager, I would have taken Jalen Ramsey. I think Ramsey is going to be a tremendous player, being able to play, you know, corner. I think he can play some safety in the NFL. I think he's that versatile of a player. Watching all 3 years at Florida State, I would have taken him myself if I were the Dallas Cowboys. Because running back is so, listen, and you heard the number, 25 of the 32 starting running backs did not get drafted in the first round. You don't have to have a top running back to win a championship. You just don't. And again, it's a position that can be easily replaced. We've seen that. But again, Dallas, you understand the temptation with that opposite line. Again, without question, Elliott was the number one rated, highest rated, and number one back coming out this year. That wasn't even a question. But again, I think that. If you're the Cowboys, you have so many other needs. He doesn't put them over the top for an under center. Their defense, they have a number of, to me, defensive needs that they have that they could address. Maybe they could trade down the second round and, you know, get extra picks. We'll see what happens with that. Ramsey goes to Jacksonville. Remember, Jacksonville lost their first round pick from last year, Fowler. So, you know, they're going to basically be getting 2 first-round picks this year when Fowler gets back, with Fowler being back in Ramsey. I am a Jalen Ramsey fan. I think he's going to be a tremendous player. In today's NFL, you can have a guy with that size who can match up with these big receivers. I think with the kind of athletic system that he has, he's played in big games, won a national championship at Florida State, played in big bowl games, so that's not going to be – he's not going to have stage fright to the big stage. That guy on defense is invaluable in today's NFL. I just think that you take that guy. A lot of people – there are people who think that he is the best player in the draft. I mean, there are people who had him as the number one overall prospect, you know, in the entire draft. But Dallas passes up on him. Jacksonville takes him. And we'll see how that turns out. Atlanta up 41-33. last 15 seconds of the second quarter as they head towards halftime again. Boston facing elimination. I think Boston has done a tremendous job in the series considering the injuries. Remember, Noe B. Bradley, Jarefko missed a couple of games. Atlanta already, to me, was a better team coming in home court. I think Boston has acquitted themselves very well in this series as they'll have probably final one more play with 2.7 seconds left as they head towards halftime of the Atlanta-Boston game. A lot to do on this busy sports night. This is the Cyril Gerald Gordon Review. We'll be right back. Here's your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Gordon Review NFL Draft. We have Capitals were up 1-0 in the first intermission. Have they begun the first period, second period? They should have begun the second period. I don't think they have, but they're about close to beginning the second period in the begun the second period in the Capitals-Penguins matchup. Again, these teams have not met since 2009 in the playoffs. Penguins, of course, that was the Stanley Cup season in 2009 with Crosby and Malkin. And they, of course, took out Washington in 7 games. Again, even if you're not a big hockey fan, and I'm a Penguins fan, I definitely would recommend the series. You're going to see some serious star power, arguably the two best players in all of hockey, Ovechkin and Crosby. I know Kane's going to probably win the MVP, but Crosby's still seen the Crosby. I mean, Crosby finished the year on a tear. Pittsburgh has been finished the year hot, and certainly one of the favorites moving forward to win the Stanley Cup. Washington is the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. And listen, you know, if you're the Washington Capitals, now's the time. Like, you have no Chicago Blackhawks, no Los Angeles Kings. You got to strike while they will not have a better opportunity to win. No Detroit Red Wings, who are traditionally a power, they will not have a better chance to win. The Rangers are out. They won't have a Boston Bruins not making the playoffs. I mean, these are normal powerhouses that they will not have to worry about moving forward. You can make a case that this could be their toughest series if they get past this. For the rest of the playoffs. I mean, I can certainly make that case. That's how well Pittsburgh is playing. I remember 2011 Dallas Mavericks, who took advantage of, struck an iron hot, so to speak, as we have a trade between the Bears and Buccaneers. Bears getting the trade up to get the 9th pick. Buccaneers gets the 11th pick. We'll get the 11th pick in 2000 and a 4th-round pick. So Buccaneers have 2 4th-round picks. Bears is trading up. Not that big of a deal, but that is the first of what I think will be many trades in this particular draft. Of course, the Bears wanted to replace Matt Forte. We'll see who they take with this 9th pick. But getting back to the Penguins, Capitals. If you're the Capitals, you know, you got to strike when the iron is hot right here. You won't have a better opportunity to win the Stanley Cup than this year. Again, 2011 Dallas Mavericks, San Antonio was kind of in transition, going from a defensive to an offensive team, so they weren't their traditional selves. Lakers were on the decline after winning back-to-back titles. Miami had yet to figure it out. So 2011 was a prime opportunity. Dallas a little bit older. Lurk was still in his prime. prime opportunity for the Dallas Mavericks to win a championship, and they took advantage of it. They had that run, you know, Dirk had one of the great runs in recent memory of any individual player. They won a champ, and they got the, and they got their ring, and they haven't been a, they haven't sniffed a play, they haven't won a playoff series since. So, you know, if you are the Washington Capitals, this is the year. If it doesn't happen this year, it will. It might never happen, to be honest with you. Leonard Floyd goes to the Chicago Bears, outside linebacker. Of course, the Bears had an awful defense last year, so that it makes perfect sense that trade up to get this pick. Their defense was just dreadful last year. From Georgia, and you'll see one of many SEC players that will be certainly taken. NBA playoffs, only one game tonight. That's, of course, Atlanta and Boston. And, you know, with the NBA, things are going to start to pick up. First of all, the Eastern Conference has been – you can't really complain about the Eastern Conference. You have three of those series going to game sixes, two of them tomorrow. You have Toronto, Indiana, and you will have, of course, Miami-Charlotte, which I think both of those series are going to seven. Great job by Charlotte last night. And going to Miami and winning a game five. That is one of the toughest things to do in sports, is to win a game five on the road. Courtney Alexander – Courtney Lee makes the game-winning shot. Dwayne Wade doesn't get the call. That's when you know that you're not quite a superstar anymore. When you like that is the essence of not being what you were as a player. And Dwayne Wade is still very good, but you know, 3 or 4 years ago, you didn't get that call. I mean, that's all. You a clear foul, did not get called, especially at home. So I think that was the one that probably had him heated the most. That the foul was that he got fouled one, and then two, did not get the call on his own home court. So Miami, you have Miami, Charlotte, game six. That Charlotte crowd, those two games were great. We'll see if they can close it out. I don't think they will. I think Miami will bring it back for a game seven. Indiana, Toronto. Indiana absolutely blew a golden opportunity in game five. Toronto had no business winning that game, none. And they just blew a golden opportunity to me to win that game. I do expect in the end to force a game seven. They play well in their building over the course, you know, in game four in particular. I expect there to be two game sevens in the Eastern Conference as the Cleveland Cavaliers await. Last night, of course, you saw Houston beat Houston. Just, you know, with the exception of James Harden, just completely just lay down. And Golden State took care of business. Golden State, of course, caught the break of all breaks with the Chris Paul injury. Now, you know, Golden State's going to have time to rest. They're going to have time to rest. They're waiting on this Portland. LA went, the Clipper winner, it's going to probably be Portland. It's probably going to be Portland, so they're going to have an advantage. The Clippers, Golden State is going to the Eastern Western Conference Finals. So that's not a question. The question is, who are they going to play there? Like, who, you know, who, the question is, who will Steph Curry be ready? So that'll be a question moving forward. But they're going to the Western Conference Finals. There's no question about that. Oklahoma City, San Antonio will start out Saturday. That's going to be a great series. It's going to be a great series. I'm surprised how many people like Oklahoma City. I don't see it. I think they, you know, we know what they are. And then, frankly, Dallas actually, you know, played well against them last couple of games, you know, hung in there, but, you know, just didn't have enough firepower. We know what Oklahoma City is. They are absolutely a two-man gang. We know they have a ton of talent, but again, San Antonio is a well-oiled machine right now. I see that game. I think that's a seven. I believe that would be a six-game series. I like San Antonio on six. I think it would be a great series. Oh, no, again, Oklahoma City, we know, matches up well against San Antonio. They always have played them tough, as tough as anybody in the league. But this San Antonio team is different. San Antonio is well-rested. Again, they basically had a scrimmage against Memphis. So, they're going to be ready to go against OKC. Again, Oklahoma City's two-man offense, so to speak. Their four-quarter offense, their crunch-time offense is dreadful. I mean, it's predictable and it's dreadful. that will get exposed against a San Antonio team that is a great defensive team, not a good defensive team, a great defensive team. And again, I expect San Antonio to win that game, that series, in six games. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll talk about an ex-ESPN commentator who thinks we should care about his politics. That's coming up and much, much more in this edition of the Cyril Jericho Review. We'll be right back. Is a call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Jericho Quick Review. They are at pick 10 in the NFL draft. Bears took it with last pick, outside linebacker Leonard Floyd. They had sort of Giants set up with the 10th pick. Certainly defense, you would think that they would focus on defense. Or you know, it could go defense or offense, or even or offensive line, but I would think that they would go defense. The smart money that would, to me would be the smart money for them. They were horrendous defensively last year, good offensively, terrible defensively. So we'll see what the Giants do with the 10th pick in the draft as we look at the. And again, yes, it actually makes sense. Eli Apple out of Ohio State, cornerback. So that's, you know, that is the safe pick, the smart pick, even though, you know, the Giants could use a pass rusher and everybody, you know, who can't. But Eli Apple, you know, one of the top corners, was probably the second-rated defensive back in the draft, goes to New York. And again, Ohio State played in a lot of big games. You know, there's no such thing as a shutdown corner. But again, they needed in the worst way a cornerback. They needed a defense player in general. So certainly not surprised by this pick. Good player, very good player. Out of Ohio State. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's a game changer. But certainly a good player. And certainly you understand that pick for the Giants, who again were just atrocious. Defensively this year. So Curt Schilling, who was let go by ESPN recently after numerous suspensions and, you know, warnings and things of that nature for comments he made about Hillary Clinton and, you know, just and a number of issues, you know, comes out and basically says, hey, ESPN was not fair in terms of dishing out discipline to other ESPN talking heads and employees, and he named two in particular, Stephen A. Smith and Tony Kornheiser. So what Schilling failed to mention that to me is obvious in him as a comparison to those two other guys is no one cares about Curt Schilling's politics. So the position that he had at ESPN. Like, Curt Schilling was a great baseball pitcher, was a clutch of a money pitcher that I've seen, you know, in this generation. He was that great. I mean, John Smoltz, Curt Schilling, guys like that are up there. Now Madison Bumgarner is kind of taking that, you know, that mantle as being the money pitcher in the last half decade. But Schilling, we know he's a tremendous pitcher. You know, we'll never forget the bloody sock in 2001 with the Diamondbacks and Randy Johnson. So, you know, when you listen to Curt Schilling, when you're watching a broadcast of Curt Schilling, you want to hear his as a baseball pitcher who could be in the Hall of Fame. You want to hear what he's thinking. You know, he's giving you stuff. He's giving you insight that, frankly, other commentators couldn't, you know, can't give you because there are not too many Hall of Fame commentators, whatever, who are by the way good at articulating what they're seeing on the field, especially in baseball, which is a slow sport. So I thought Schilling was tremendous at that. I mean, tremendous at just talking baseball. But how and why he ever thought somebody, the national or anybody, cares about his politics or about what he thinks about, you know, different life issues. I mean, listen, you got, you know, we have Fox News. We have plenty of guys, Anderson Cooper, Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh. I shouldn't mention Anderson Cooper, but you know, we have plenty of talking heads to discuss those kind of issues. And when he's lost that and comparing himself in terms of Stephen A. Smith and Tony Kornheiser, those guys, you know, they have an audience that actually listens to their opinions on politics or things outside of sports. Now, again, I could care less about what Stephen A. Smith or what Tony Kornheiser thinks about politics, to be honest with you, but they do have an audience that listens to, you know, what they believe and what they, you know, their thoughts on pop culture, politics, and again, things that are outside of sports. Curt Schilling does not have that audience. And he's not a talking head. He's not, you know, he doesn't host a radio show. So that's, I think that was lost upon him when he's making these comments and comparing himself to other ESPN personalities. Like, he's not a personality per se. You are there to talk baseball. I don't want to hear about your thoughts about politics, movies, you know, Applejacks, bright, you know, dinner. I just need to talk baseball. But he never, that just never registered with Curt Schilling. Just never did. So, you know, again, let go by ESPN. And again, I think he, you know, was tremendous at what he did. He really was. But just couldn't control himself. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Review. When we return, you got to know when to hold them, when to fold them. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of Cyril Joe Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Is a call number in this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Review. A couple of things on the team, on the two Texas teams that are going home in regards to the NBA in Dallas and Houston. Houston, again, should have got swept. I mean, honestly, should have got swept. That's a team where if I own the team, I'm having a serious conversation with Daryl Morey. Matter of fact, I think that if I own the team, Daryl Morey would be gone. Because to me, you know, the analytics, the numbers, they have not worked for Houston. Now, again, he acquired through different assets and trades, you know, got James Harden, got Dwight Howard. Okay, he was able to pick up Dwight Howard. But now, after a, you know, and people overrate the run Houston had last year. There were people who came into this year thinking that Houston was a legit title contender, which for me was insane. It was almost as insane as thinking that the Clippers were a legit title contender. And I don't mean to pick on the Clippers. They've been through enough over the past couple of days. Yeah, I really don't. But the idea that, you know, Houston was going to get out the West in a conference with Golden State, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City. I mean, please. But again, this the analytics, the way that Morey has gone about building this team, constructing his roster, has been exposed. And it's been completely exposed. I mean, you got guys shooting threes who are not three-point shooters. Facing a team that was filled with three-point shooters, you're going to lose that battle. But so I would get Maury out of there. I would not touch Dwight Howard. I would, you know, I would let him go and, you know, just basically, you know, build around Dwight and build around James Harden. Not a big James Harden fan, but he's still one of the top 10 players in the league. Not too many teams in the league have a player of that caliber. So, you know, go after Ben, go after Jeff Van Gundy, go after Luke Walton, get a real coach in there. No, I'll be trying to burn it to Bickerstaff, but, you know, he's not the guy to coach that team. So it's going to be a very interesting summer in Houston. I don't think as Vernon Hargraves goes, to Tampa Bay with the 11th pick. So they get another cornerback. They're a team that, again, that could use, they could use some defense. They get a cornerback. So, again, we've seen already three at the top 11 picks, Ramsey, Apple, and Hargraves as cornerbacks. So, I mean, there you go about where the league is at right now in terms of trying to defend the passing game. You get three of the top 11, first 11 picks as cornerbacks. And people project Ramsey to be a cornerback in the NFL more than they do a safety. I think that, you know, with Houston, you know, it's time to move on from that. This whole analytics, it didn't work in Philadelphia. It, you know, worked somewhat in Houston, but you have to build a team. You have to play a style that fits your personnel. Can't ask your players to do stuff that they're not good at. This is just not, it will not last long. Last year, they caught lightning in a bottle, and they were on the other side of one of the great collapses, on the right side of one of the great collapses of all time with the Clippers, and they got to the Western Conference Finals. They were not a legit Western Conference finalist last year. They were fortunate. They were fortunate. I don't want to say use the word lucky, but they were extremely fortunate to get to the Western Conference Finals against the Clippers. When did this happen? My goodness. Pittsburgh is up 2-1, and these goals must have came quick, and I flipped on, been going kind of back and forth. I don't know who scored, but they were down 1-0, and all of a sudden they're up 2-1. They have that kind of offense. Malkin looked like he scored. Malkin. And someone else. Pittsburgh, they are an explosive team. I mean, they are an absolutely explosive team today with offensively. So that's going to be a tremendous series with Washington, Pittsburgh. Again, you're not a hockey person, I understand it, but that, you know, that's worth the watch. I mean, it really is. Those two teams going at it. So again, I expect Houston to make some changes. As far as Dallas goes, listen, Dallas went as far as they were going to go. First round team, lose to a superior team in Oklahoma City. But if you're Mark Cuban, you might want to, you know, rethink when you talk about another team's players. You know, he makes a comment, classic Cuban, that Russell Westbrook is not a superstar. He's an all-star, he's not a superstar, that Kevin Durant is the only superstar on that team. Mark, let me let you know a little hint. First of all, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are close. Durant's about to be a free agent, okay? He's about to be a free agent this year. And you're actually going to have money to try to go after him. You think he's coming there? Not that he's going to come there anyway, but you think there's any chance that he's going to come in there this year, come in there after those comments about probably his best friend on the team? Westbrook is going to be a free agent in 2017. Now, again, chances are Westbrook is going to end up in Los Angeles. Clippers, Lakers, most likely the Lakers. But who knows? This is the NBA. Teams are going to have a lot of money to play with. Do you think, with those comments, that he's going to come there? Now, again, Mark Cuban, Mark Cuban, those comments, he's not an idiot like Durant called him, but those comments were moronic and idiotic. You don't not players who are going to be the two biggest free agents on the market in the next 2 years. Durant is the number one free agent on the market this year. 2017, Russell Westbrook will be the number one free agent on the market, possibly. Unless Durant resigns in 1 year and becomes free agent in 2017. So, like, you don't, like, that's, you know, that's Cuban. You know, I guess he didn't think that, this game is wild now. Washington just scored the title game, like, 2-2. It's going to be one of those games. I mean, it's only second period, 7.5 minutes left. to an entire third period. Like it's gonna be, this is gonna be a shootout here. You know, the goal, OSU scores the goal off the turnover by Pittsburgh. So, you know, it's gonna be a, this wild game down at the Rising Center as the fans are being treated to some action, especially in the last in this period. Three goals in this period. Washington was up 1-0 at the first intermission. But you know, if you're Mark Cuban, you know you gotta use your needle here. I mean, you don't say anything about what Russell Westbrook. Nothing. Forget about fuel. And it was at the point where, you know, it doesn't matter if he says anything or not. Nothing he's going to say is going to distract Russell Westbrook or is going to turn his team's, you know, fortunes. And that's what it was done after game three. But, you know, not smart business for one Mark Cuban, who is normally the great businessman. 347-215-6180 is the call number. We'll be right back on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Review. Is your call number. Atlanta, all over Boston, 53-36. I did not have a good feel about that game from an Atlanta perspective. I mean, from a Boston perspective, not even fully engaging. You can just watch the team's energy, the body language is not there, the crowd is not into it. Again, a lot of times, in these game sixes, number one, if the team is up 3-2. With home court, chances are they are the better team. So let's put that aside. But also, a lot of times these game sixes, this is one of the reasons why so many of these series get closed, so many of these series in basketball get closed out in six games. That home team facing elimination starts to get tight. They start to feel pressure. You know, shots not falling, crowd gets anxious. And all of a sudden, the road team, you know, you're the road team, you can smell it. I mean, the Hawks have 8 blocks in this game. Defense has been great. Boston can't, you know, throw in the ocean. Isaiah Thomas has been quiet, 36 points through almost 2.5 quarters. It's not going to get it done. You have to be able to put points on the board against this Atlanta team. But you didn't, again, a lot of times these home teams down 3-2 get tight. Boston is not an experienced team at all in terms of Boston. You got a bunch of young guys, Smart, Isaiah Thomas, some of these guys, you know, on Crowder. Most of these guys are only in their first or second playoff appearances. Evan Turner's been in a couple. I think he's with Philly at the 1 year they went in 2012 and upset Chicago. But for the most part, Boston does not have a lot of playoff experience. Atlanta, of course, had, you know, with this squad, it was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year as they got swept by Cleveland Cavaliers. 55-36, Atlanta all over Boston. They're on the mini run here, so we'll keep you posted on that if the action gets close. Right now, again, it's not looking good for the Boston Celtics as they try to extend their season. So earlier this week, you had the NFL and Roger Goodell winning the latest battle versus the New England Patriots and Tom Brady as the 4-game suspension was upheld by the U.S. Court of Appeals. And, you know, I'm not going to get into all the legal jargon of this particular case. You know, Brady's going to fight it again and go at it again to try to get the suspension taken out. You know, completely wiped away. We'll see what happens. Again, it looks like this time that it's going to stick, but who knows? You just don't know with this. When it comes to the courtrooms and, you know, this judge, that judge. But again, not looking good for Mr. Brady and the New England Patriots for the first month of the season. I think at a point, if you're Tom Brady, you see what kind of guy that you're dealing with, Roger Goodell, and how relentless Goodell can be when it comes to something like this. I just think you just got to just you know, accept the suspension and just keep it moving. I mean, four games, I know it's a quarter of the season. The money is not an issue. Patriots, you know, the games they don't miss, trust me, Patriots will take care of him. It's Tom Brady. So it's not even about the money. His reputation, I mean, everybody, even the diehard Patriots fans have to think that, by giving the truth to him, think that he cheated. There's no way he could not have known about those footballs, him being a quarterback. So his reputation as at worst, the second greatest quarterback in NFL history is entrenched in me. He has four Super Bowls, three Super Bowl MVPs. That's not going anywhere. So at this point, it's about pride and ego. And I just think if you're Tom Brady, it's just not worth fighting anymore. I just don't think it's worth. I know what he said, I didn't come this far, not to come this far, but I just don't think it's worth it anymore if you're Tom Brady. I think that you fought the good fight. I think that if you go out there and make a statement like, hey, I'm not admitting guilt, but in the best interest of the organization, with the attention that it's drawing, I'm going to, take the 4-game suspension and move on from there. I mean, you've already been, think about this. When this all came out, this came out before the Super Bowl, okay, easily could have been suspended and not played in the Super Bowl back when they played Seattle. So he dodged one bullet there. He doesn't get suspension to start out the 2015 season. He dodged a bullet there. At a certain point, you just got to take it. You just got to take it, man. It's going to happen. Goodell's going to make sure, as long as that collective bargaining agreement has Goodell in the position that he's in as far as making these decisions and the kind of power that he has over discipline, this is not going to change. Again, Goodell's taking a lot of L's. We all know for players and stuff getting revoked. This one looks like he's going to come out on top of this one. So no Tom Brady. I'm like, listen, I'm not spending another dime on lawyers. I'm going to leave it. That's it. I fought the good fight, accept the 4-game suspension, and just move on. Just move on, man. You got to give it up. You have to just, at a certain point, just swallow your pride and keep it moving. Because I was watching it, because it came on a couple nights ago, maybe it was last night, 2 nights ago, Rocky came on. And I remember, after, I would say Rocky 2, Apollo wanted to fight Rocky again because he thought that he didn't beat him bad enough. We knew he beat him in Rocky 1, but the fact that he didn't knock him out bothered Apollo. And Apollo's trainer, rightfully so, said, hey, man, look, this dude is a different kind of animal. Like, I know what you're going through. As Laramie Tunsil gets drafted by Mark. It makes perfect sense for Miami to draft him. They've had a couple of dysfunctional offensive linemen with that situation a couple of years ago with Martin and Cognito. So it makes perfect sense. A team that had Richie Cognito on their team to draft him. That makes absolute sense. So they take him down. They take Tunsil. Of course, he's top five, top three talent. Falls to 13th. Didn't fall as far as I thought he was going to fall. I thought he was going to fall to the late 20s, maybe even into the second round. But listen, as talented as he is, there's only one team that's going to take a shot on you. It's the Miami Dolphins, and we'll see how that works out with that. So Laramie Tunsil, the 13th pick in the NFL draft, as he from Ole Miss. Atlanta up 63-43 all over Boston right now. Again, no energy in that building. Atlanta in complete control in that game. 3-21 from the 3-point line is the Boston Celtics. They have to make the threes. It's not like Atlanta is shooting that much better. It's shooting great from 3-point range. But Boston, again, one of their hallmarks is, one of the things, they take a lot of threes, so they need to make threes to be successful. So we'll see. Again, more importantly, these guys at Thomas Thorne. That's going to be the key to whether or not they can get back into the game, is to get Isaiah Thomas going. in that game. 2-2 Pittsburgh, Washington. Explosive second period, 3 goals scored in the second period. As they, again, they're gonna have, it's going to be a tremendous third period with the Capitals and Penguins, game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals. So, but, you know, again, if you're Brady, man, you just, like, you got to let it go. I mean, you got to let it go. At a certain point, it's just like, can't, your pride, listen, you have 4 Super Bowls, you have 3 Super Bowl MVPs. This is a battle that you're probably not going to win. You're probably gonna, like, you know, that you're going to take the L on this. I think if I'm Brady, I'm like, listen, enough with the lawyers, enough with the waiting on decisions. I'm just, you know, just going to accept the penalty and move on. But the Patriots will not do that. Tom Brady will not do that. So expect to hear about this months and months in until the season, you know, August. So this will be a story that will not, that just will not die whatsoever. 347-215-6180. Quick baseball note. Good job by the Phillies coming into Washington and completely dominating the Nationals. Back-to-back shutouts, 3-0 last night, 3-0 this afternoon. You know, I told people that the Phillies were going to be an improved team. They're 12-10 right now. Nationals, those offensive struggles are real once you get past Harper and Daniel Murphy. I don't know how much work has left in the tank. You know, Zimmerman, who knows about him? But that offense is not a potent offense. Again, once you get past Bryce Harper, really, I'm looking at that lineup. Nobody outside of Bryce Harper scares me in that lineup. Murphy's good, Murphy's solid, but nobody scares me outside of Bryce Harper. So we'll see how that works out for the Nationals moving forward. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Review. We will see you next time again. We have part 2 of The Wire coming up with Rob Sapp and Chad Quinn, so we'll talk about that. NBA playoffs getting to the second round. Should be some interesting second round matchups. You know, I think the Atlanta-Cleveland matchup, I think the Atlanta-Cleveland series is going to be a much better series than what it was, than people might think. Should have to like Cleveland, but I think it's going to be a pretty good series. Of course, Oklahoma City, San Antonio should be great. You're going to have more like Golden State, Portland. Portland has a lot of young pieces, but again, the main question in moving forward to the NBA playoffs will be, can Steph Curry return? Again, that's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Review. I will see you next time. Hey, have a great evening.